Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. We're in a series on resurrection power. And you got to go back and hear the episodes before this, because there is something that the Lord is building on the inside of us. And like I've stated, I believe that this move of God we're coming into is going to be saturated in the resurrection power of God. In fact, I've heard old prophecies that before the Lord comes back, the raising of the dead is going to be one of the foremost signs that are happening in the earth before the Lord comes back, just demonstrating resurrection power. And before we go back to the story of Lazarus, I was just kind of praying today, and in Matthew chapter 27, the Bible says in verses 57, so Matthew 27 and 57, and when evening had come, there was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Now, this linen cloth that he wrapped him in, it's the same kind of cloth that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas comes, the soldiers come, and there was a young boy. He was wearing this same kind of cloth, and it's a burial garment. It's called a sindone, and it's a very light cloth. You don't go up into the mountains of Israel at night at that time of the year wearing just a linen blanket, and that's what it is. And so Jesus is wrapped. But, I think about this. Here's this man. He loves Jesus so much. He's willing to go to Pilate. And he doesn't even realize he's operating in Isaiah chapter 53, where Jesus is given a grave with the rich. This rich man, he's a wealthy man. He has a new tomb. It's not been used yet. And he goes and he begs for the body of Jesus. And I'm not sure what it was like for him to get up on the ladder and then begin to take this body and to hold him. To hold Jesus, who had walked on water, who had healed the sick and cleansed lepers, and, to hold him that 33 years before Mary had given birth to this wonderful baby, and she was holding him. And now this rich man is holding him. And takes him. I don't know what was going through Joseph of Arimathea, but he was playing into this prophetic operation of this beautiful story of love. He takes the body and he brings it into the grave. Well, why is this important? Well, there was going to be some words spoke by the Apostle Paul later. O grave, where is your sting? Jesus goes in to this grave, a dead body. But before it's over, as the glory of God raises him up, resurrects him, he walks out of the grave, and when he walks out of the grave, the sting of the grave is taken away. Whew. These things are so powerful. Now, we're in John chapter 11 with Lazarus. And so here Jesus, he declares to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. So, I mean, power. I mean, Peter on the day of Pentecost preaches, it was impossible for death to hold him. And I mean, when you get into this, you go, okay, in Philippians 2, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. And when you go into this, I mean, you're just thinking, when God created Adam, he said to him, he said, hey, Adam, that's a tree of life and a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, Adam does. But God had warned Adam, if you eat, if you disobey my word, you're going to die. Now, Adam had never seen death before. He didn't know what that was. And in fact, when you go into this Hebrew, it's two deaths. There's a plurality of death. Adam died twice. Adam's spirit died. He was separated from God. And then his body eventually dies, this seed, this carcass that's around the very spirit of a man who is separated from God. So here's Jesus. Declaring, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. And if you believe upon me, you're not going to die. So he totally is the answer, the antidote to Adam and Eve's sin. That brought sin and death. It brought the power of the grave in. And, you know, I just sit back and I think about Adam, you know. When they disobeyed God's word and died, sin came in, they died. When God came into the garden speaking their names, he wasn't condemning them. He didn't condemn them. But right in front of them, he took a heifer, a cow, and he killed that animal. Adam and Eve had never seen death. The Lord then takes the carcass, the skin of the animal. Adam and Eve probably had never seen blood before. But it was the shedding of the blood of that animal that the clothing of an innocent animal now becomes the clothing around Adam and Eve. What was God doing? God was painting a picture that his son would come and that he would have to die physically and that his righteousness through the shedding of his own blood was now going to be the garments that cover our nakedness. Now, in the world we live in right now, people are taking their clothes off. Everywhere you turn, you see nakedness. And it's like people want to wear less and less and less. And I think it's really a sign of the times we're coming up until the coming of the Lord. And the world and its operation is moving towards nakedness. But those that repent are moving towards clothing. The clothing of righteousness and the clothing of the glory. So here's Jesus, and he says, I am the resurrection, I'm the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And, of course, we talked about this in the last podcast. The power of this declaration of resurrection. That this power was going to remove the sting of the grave. Now, let's just read a little bit here. And now, when she had said this, she declared, you're the Son of God. And this is verse 28. She went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master's come. He's calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly. She came to Jesus. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, "She goes to the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." She, like Martha, had this operation of faith, healing faith. "Jesus, if you had just been here, there was no way death, there was no way this sickness was going to have any kind of authority over our brother." Why? They knew Jesus loved them. And I think one thing in this study that we need to press into, the love of Jesus. So powerful, so strong. I remember years ago, I was in Charles de Gaulle Airport, and I had been walking with the cross in France. And the power of the love of God had been so strong, the things that I had seen the Lord do with people, it was amazing. Now, here I am at Charles de Gaulle. I'm getting ready to fly home. And I look up, and the lady at the counter, I knew she was offended. I could discern there was a very bad presence. It was an offensive spirit. And I'm the next one in line, and I know, oh, there's going to be a clash. I can feel there's going to be something. All of a sudden, the Lord was standing on my right side. I didn't see him, but his love, so overwhelming, flowing down through me. Tears are coming down my eyes. And that spirit that in that lady could not penetrate the love of God around me. It couldn't enter into it. The love of God was so strong. Now, in that powerful love, I prayed a prayer. I said something, and you're going to say the same thing. "Lord, I'm not like you. I want to be like you. I don't care who you are, whether you're Billy Graham or Roberts, some Billy Sunday, some big preacher. I don't care who you are. Whenever you stand in the presence of his love, you pray the same prayer. I'm not like you. I want to be like you." See, we're being changed into his image. We're being formed to become like him. That is your high calling in life, to be like him. And it's really the heart cry of creation, to know him and to be like him. Of course, Paul said, "I want to know you in the power of your resurrection." Now, I'm standing in this glory, in this presence, this love, and I just pray. I said, "Lord, you're so gentle. You're so kind. You're so patient. And yet, you're so strong." You're never going to meet someone more patient and more kind than Jesus. And yet, so strong. That's why you love him. That's why you crave to be with him. And I went up to the lady. I gave my cross and my suitcase. And I don't even remember talking to her. I was caught up into this glory and then went through security. And the only thing I could pray was, "Lord, I don't ever want to come out of this realm of the love of God, the glory of God. I don't ever take it from me, Lord. I crave this love of God." and to walk in love, to learn to walk in this love of God. Well, it came time to get on the plane, and there was the lady. She was at the door. She was checking the tickets and the passports one last time. And when I got close to her, she saw me, and she smiled so wonderfully. And I thought, that's not the same lady that checked me in, just to, you know. And I thought, she's changed. This lady has changed. And you know what? I don't even remember speaking with her, but I know that in that visitation with the Lord, He was touching her. You know, the power of love, if we sometimes, and I'm talking to me, we get so petty, don't we? We get so easily offended. Well, I can talk about that because I know me. And but, you know, when we decide to walk in love, to be patient and kind, there's a lot of things the Lord can do on our behalf if we pay the price to walk in love. Then love begins to operate and makes the crooked places straight. Even when it looks crooked right in front of you, God makes crooked places straight by His love. Well, she said, Lord, if you had been here, there's no way death could have come. Now, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews weeping, oh, He groaned in the spirit and He was troubled. Now, I don't know. You know, I just read this. And, you know, I've had some experiences with the Lord where this powerful, weighty operation of God comes down on you because He's getting ready to do something and He's going to flow through you. And all of a sudden, you're very aware some weight of glory, some operation of the power of God has just come down. And so I'm assuming that's probably what happened. He begins to groan in the spirit. Now, this is not... this is something very deep. In fact, the Bible talks about groaning and travail. And I know some people preach that groaning and travail is, you know, tongues, and it's not. Now, you may go into a tongue in this operation, but tongues are tongues. Groaning and travail is groaning and travail. Now, there have been times where I've groaned and travailed, not enough. And it's like a groaning that begins to take over your being and travail. Now, I guess one way that you kind of get a picture is like when your wife or someone's having a baby and they're in travail because something is being birthed. And I really think this glory of God was ready to go to a whole new level in His life and ministry that was going to take Him right up to the cross, right up with a direct challenge to the religious structure, the demonic powers that had gained entrance over and control of the Jewish nation, and they were yielding to it through their leaders. And now here's the Mashiach, the Messiah, and He's ready, He's coming into a new level of this operation of glory. And the way God's going to do it is through resurrection. And that's where we're moving in this thing. Jesus said, God's going to manifest His glory. So he's groaning and travailing. And then He says, where have you laid Him? He didn't know. They said, come and see. And then verse 35, two words, Jesus wept. Two powerful words that our Savior wept. He's a man. He understands. And He began to cry, to weep. And I don't know, I mean, He knew what he was about to do, right? I mean, he knew that all this power and glory is just about ready. But he loved people so much that he loved them so much that he was so deeply touched by their weeping. And he was deeply touched by their weeping. And so in Hebrews, you know, we have a high priest who can be touched by our infirmities and what we're going through. He can be, and he is. The Bible says he is. He is deeply touched. And sometimes in that revelation, it helps you know you are not alone in what you're going through. So make some room for the Lord to come. And with that deep touch that he has, he releases grace to get us through it. Okay, so Jesus wept. He says to the Jews, behold, they said, behold how he loved him. So we've seen that Jesus loves Lazarus. He loves Martha and Mary. And now these people, they're going, man, Jesus really loves these people. I really, as we look at John chapter 11, I know we're talking about resurrection, but I want you to also grab love, the love of Jesus. It's just saturating this chapter. I mean, this chapter is so saturated in love. Some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man, Lazarus, should not have died? Now, these people are different than Martha and Mary. They're questioning, could he not have done this? Mary and Martha, they didn't say that. They said, Lord, if you were here, death and sickness would not be the reality of what we're dealing with. They knew his love. And they, I mean, I gleaned this revelation that these two ladies had. If you were here, this would not have happened. I want to know Jesus like that. Jesus, you're here. I receive. Death can't come here. Sickness can't come here because you're here. So these people are a little bit different. They're questioning. Now, Jesus, again, he's groaning inside. There's an operation of heaven coming down, getting ready to be released. So he came to the grave. It was a cave and a stone was on it. And he said, take away the stone. Oh, are you ready for this? I don't think you're ready for this. Martha, she said, Lord, 4 days, he stinks. Let's not do that. And Jesus said I not to, that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you hear me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you've sent me. And when he had said this, he spoke and cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did, they believed on him. I'm telling you, when Jesus got up there and he prayed to the Father, said, Father, I know you hear me, and then said, Lazarus, come forth, the power of resurrection was released. And I am telling you, this man was wrapped up. He was bound up. He was tied up. He still had a cloth on his face. And the power of those words, Lazarus, come forth, I think picked the man up and began to pull him out of that grave. Well, say, how do you know that? Because Jesus had to give the order, go and untie him, go and unravel him. And you know what? That's a lot of times people get saved. They get born again. Resurrection comes on the inside, but there's still some grave clothes that they're still entangled with. It's not part of redemption. It's not part of what Jesus did. And he says to the church, he says, get around each other and get those grave clothes off of each other. They don't belong on you. Just tear them off. And sometimes we need a brother or sister to pray with us and help get the grave clothes off of us. Whew. The power of resurrection. I want you to see those words, Lazarus, come forth. And I believe in this podcast, those words are going out into your room, into your car, wherever you are. I want you to see yourself moving in the direction of those words. I believe that's where we are in this time. That resurrection is being spoken out of heaven. All we're doing is prophetically picking up on it and declaring it in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you for this podcast. Let resurrection saturate us tonight, even as we sleep. That, Lord, there's just going to be something new. That even tomorrow, it's going to be an amazing day because of what you've already begun to do with these podcasts. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. That's foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And you can also sow a seed of faith, sow a seed of love into the ministry. And I believe that there's going to be a harvest that as you give, it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men be sent to give into your bosom. It's called resurrection. A seed sown produces a harvest. Listen, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Till next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.